Our next presentation for this afternoon is from an individual who's not exactly a stranger to this audience, and it's Undefined by Blindness, Seeking Employment and Financial Literacy Opportunities for the Blind. Blind people are often not a part of the executive and financial executive positions in the United States. And our speaker here this afternoon is someone that has broken beyond the mold of where blind people are supposed to stay and gone out to find ways to get into places and to bring blind people into places of opportunity and employment and finance. She currently works with Wells Fargo, which, as you heard, has come to support some of our most critical literacy programs through our Braille Enrichment for Literacy and Learning Academy. To the tune of $100,000, no less. But her story is also one like many of our stories, a blind person that has been able to go beyond what society expects and apply her own talents. She has a very complex and impressive title at Wells Fargo. It is the, Senior Vice President. I know, I like it, it's so complex. Senior Vice President, Lead Disability Segment, Market and Brand Strategy. There, you know, you got to have a complex title to go along with your talents and complex abilities. Here is Kathy Martinez.
I'm so happy and thrilled and honored and to be able to actually spend a good chunk of time at this convention. In my previous job, I was not able to do that. I would come in and say hello and would have to leave again. So as Mr. Riccobono said, I am now working for Wells Fargo. Some of you remember me from the Department of Labor, and I will say, given that it has been a year of more than a year of separation, I am so happy that you guys are collaborating, let's say, with Ability One and pushing them to new heights, which I'm sure they're capable of reaching with your help. So congratulations to you guys. I was asked to talk a little bit about my story, and then I want to talk about Wells Fargo. But I will say again that we are very, very proud to sponsor the Bell Academy. Carlton, we meet with Carlton once a month to hear the amazing progress that you all have made. We are encouraging our team members to volunteer so they can learn from the kids. That's really the goal. And I'd like to give a shout out to some Wells Fargo colleagues who also are members of the National Federation of the Blind, and that's Jennifer Westbrook. I don't know if she's here. Oh, she is here, yay. And David Chan, who I know is here. There he is. All right, so that's important to know that I am not the only blind person at Wells Fargo. There are many talented folks there, and we intend to hire more. So, a little bit about me. You know, I'm always really inspired to hear the work that the Federation is doing. And I'll say that the Federation played a big role in my life in shaping me. And I would say that I was also very lucky because I had parents that expected a lot of me. Dr. Maurer talked about expectations and the impact that the tyranny of low expectations can have. Fortunately, I am one of two blind people in my family, and I say fortunately because I'm very lucky to have a sister, Peggy Martinez, who many of you know. All right, yep. She's the smart one. And she and I, you know, were really served as touchstones for each other growing up. We're the two middle of six kids. Nobody knows why we're blind, and frankly, nobody should really care at this point. But we do get asked quite a bit. We grew up in a big family as six kids, two parents, lots of pets. So we were kicked around a little bit, which was good. We kicked back, too. But we were not special. And believe me, special is not where we want to be in any part of society. We lose the quickest, the fastest, if we're considered special. So let's get disability off the special shelf, right? And weave it into every part of life. We were mainstreamed, but we also were very lucky in that we had a recreation program for the blind, and that was in the days where you actually were not afraid to. We didn't ever have to sign anything. We got hurt. We climbed mountains. We did a lot of things that I just don't know if I hope blind kids are getting experience like that, because it really helped us grow up. I went to the Orientation Center for the Blind in the late 70s. I'm pretty old, by the way. And I was bored on the weekends. I was bored to death. So one of the things that I did was I read almost every book in the library that they had. But I also found a pile of flexible discs with the speeches of Jacobus Ten Broeck. And I listened to every single flexible disc. It was like this treasure, this gold mine of brilliance, right? And in that same time, I don't know if anybody's old enough to remember the takeover of the federal building to strengthen the HEW regulations, which ultimately ended up with 504. Well, I'm old enough to have gone to that demonstration. I didn't go inside because I was told I would be kicked out of the orientation center if I, you know, actually helped take over the building. But I met a man named Muzzy Marcellino. Now I'm really dating myself, okay.
Yep.
But he really was an inspiration and a help, and he really encouraged me to dream my dreams and dream big. So I went back to Southern California where I grew up, and I wanted to work because I saw what poverty could do to people. I didn't want my goal to be an SSI check. So I went to my rehab counselor, and he was, you know, very happy that I wanted to work, but I didn't want to be a rehab teacher or a PBX operator or any of those things. So he very proudly, in his mind, placed me as a punch press operator in a lock factory. So that happened, and I was very grateful at first, but then about 9 months into it, I thought, gosh, you know, this is not what I want to do for the rest of my life. He closed my case, and so he was very proud of himself. I came back, asked him if I could go to college. He said, no, we closed your case. You're just 26, man. You're great. We got you a job. So I just want people to know that, you know, we all grow up in different ways, and college does not have to be a four-year experience. It took me 13 years to graduate. And so 13 years to graduate from college, and I was well into my job with the World Institute on Disability. I worked there for 18 years, and then I got a call in January of 2009 from John Lancaster, who used to direct NCIL, the National Council on Independent Living, because my work had primarily focused on financial empowerment. As a kid, I saw what poverty could do. I saw how my mother was often treated badly, A, because she was a woman, you know, she couldn't even get a credit card without my dad's signature. And I just really wanted to have money. So I worked, you know, from a pretty young age. I also moved to Mexico, where I adopted my son. And so it is possible to be a competent blind parent. So all that, just the work that I had done living, you know, abroad, living in a developing country, just really made me hone in on financial empowerment, meaning financial literacy, and employment. And that has really been my life's work. In January 2009, I was called by John Lancaster, and he said, "Are you interested in being the Assistant Secretary of Office of Disability Employment Policy?" And I said, "Yeah, I am, actually." So it worked out that I was able to serve this administration for about 5.5 years. Really proud of the work we got done, especially 503, which is, you know, really allowing companies like Wells Fargo to kind of scour our employment, our resume banks for competent people with disabilities. I can say we're doing very well. Our hiring has definitely increased. I was hired last year by Wells Fargo to work on to drive the disability strategy. So we have four pillars, really. We've got customer experience, team member experience, philanthropy, and supplier diversity. We are very intent on becoming the bank of choice for people with disabilities, and also the workplace of choice. It is a big ship to turn around. I am not the only one doing some good work there. You know, we were sued, so that kind of pushed things along. But there really is a commitment now to accessibility. I think we've hired a brilliant blind woman, Dina Wainwright, to run our online and mobile. She's our online and mobile accessibility manager. She's really done a lot to get the bank in shape, meaning that every single line of business now has an online accessibility liaison. We've just established a third-party vendor requirements. So even though a lot of our vendors are not brick and mortar establishments, they can't say, "Well, we're not covered by the ADA." And I really think that, you know, by doing this, we also know that the 10,000 people a day are turning 65, and the senior market is a big market, and we are a bank after all. But we see the advantage of making ourselves as accessible as possible, and really looking at banking and the opportunity to manage one's money not as a disability issue, but as a usability and accessibility issue. So I want to thank the National Federation of the Blind for being so central and critical in my life at very critical points. And I'll say, together we'll go far and live the life we want. How's that? Thank you.